Good morning, First Alliance Church. My name is Kirk, and it's so great to be with you this morning. I see some new faces, some not-so-new faces, and some of you online I can't see at all, but I want to welcome you and so glad that you're here. What's the first thing that you think of when you think of family? For some, maybe, well, you think about your own biological family. For some, the word family conjures up images of negative thoughts, maybe some things that you wish would have taken place. Maybe there's great sorrow and loss in your family, and for others, maybe there's great joy. For some, we think of 1.6, a mom and a dad, and 1.96 children. Do the math. I looked it up. It's 1.96 children. I feel sorry for that 0.96 child. The picket fence, the dog, you know, that whole thing. A family is so much broader, though, than our biological families. People talk about their work family or the family of their particular hobby group or whatever. There's so many different responses that people have when it comes to family. And yet, maybe the most vital family that we can be a part of is this thing called the family of God. The nationwide, but actually more than nationwide, the global family of all followers of Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to assume this morning that all of you are actually a part of that global family, at least not yet. If you're still investigating the claims of Christ, if you're exploring what it means to know Jesus, you're in the right place. And I would simply say we welcome you and we want to invite you into the family. We've been going through a series called our core values, getting to the core of what First Alliance is all about. And for many years, we've been assembling verbiage to describe what really matters to First Alliance, what makes us unique. Hopefully, every church loves God. Hopefully, every church loves their neighbor. Hopefully, every church has these basic principles. But what's our unique call at First Alliance Church? And we started tracing things back all the way to the founding of this congregation as the Toledo Gospel Tabernacle, or even before that as a Bible study that A.B. Simpson started in Toledo in 1887. And we've looked at the history and said, where has God been taking us? And looking at the present reality in the midst of this reboot of First Alliance, this reboot of our culture, and saying, God, where do you want us to go post-COVID? Where do you want us to go into the future? Not even the next year or two, but maybe the next decade or two. And our elders, our staff, and other leaders have been assembling language and creating our core values. And we've been talking about them the last couple weeks. Week one, we looked at this equipping that we mobilize the next generation to fulfill the Great Commission. And that really, really matters to us. In fact, it matters so much to us that we invested 4 weeks in sports and arts camp. We do after school club, we have VBS, we have Kids Club United, we've got a youth group, and on, we see how the future is not, our children, our next generation are not only the future, but they're also the present church, and we value them, we put our money where our mouth is, they are our future and our present. We said last week that we are devoted to prayer, the Word of God, and following Jesus. And Pastor Donald shared with us our commitment, our rugged commitment to God's Word, the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Where other churches have kind of drifted away from Scripture, you might say, other churches have just kind of seen the Bible as some suggestions, we've said, no, it's our authority. And just to be clear, I am not the authority at First Alliance Church. In fact, our elders aren't the authority at First Alliance Church. Thomas George, our district superintendent, Dr. Stumbo, the president of the Christian Missionary Alliance, our global family, they are not the authority here. Jesus Christ is our authority. God's Word is our authority. And if you ever hear anything out of my lips or out of any other pastor's lips that doesn't align with this, call us out in love. But call us out, because this is our authority. And we're devoted to prayer. We're devoted to the Word of God. We're devoted to following Jesus. And today, we're going to talk about this value of family. We'll get to that in a moment. We're going to be talking about generosity next week, synergy, and also this whole idea of being missional. It's who we've been, it's who we are, and it's where we're headed. We are a Jesus-centered family restoring God's masterpieces in Salido and beyond for his glory. Will you pray with me? Lord God, I thank you this morning for who you are. I thank you that you are God and we are not. I thank you, Lord, this morning that we have the privilege of knowing you, of being adopted into your family as your sons and daughters. And I pray, Lord, that you would prompt those that are perhaps not yet part of your family to respond, to surrender their lives to you, to be all that you've called them to be in the fullness of their identity as sons and daughters of the Most High God. And Lord, I just pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name. Well, as I said, all followers of Jesus are part of this global family of God. We say in the Alliance that the Christian Missionary Alliance is a Jesus-centered, a Christ-centered Acts 1:8 family. Acts 1:8 says, you'll receive power, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. See, we care about this city, Toledo. Holy Toledo. Actually, that's my prayer, that Toledo would be holy again. Some of you got that. We'll delay. We'll kind of wait for that. But my prayer is that Toledo would be holy again. This is our Jerusalem. This is our epicenter. But we also care about the outer rings, Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. And it's great that we can be a part of an alliance family where we have brothers and sisters literally all over the world. In fact, 10% of Christian Missionary Alliance members are in the United States. 10%. Which means 90% are scattered all over the world. We're truly a global family. And it's exciting to be a part of that global family. But God is doing things all over the world. And he's doing things right here in Toledo. Yesterday, I was privileged to be a part of a team. We actually assembled a team. I shouldn't say we hosted. I was a part of a team. There were about 80 people from 12 states and several countries that assembled. And we just did some outreach downtown during the Jeep Fest. It was a beautiful day. It was great fun. We were just meeting people and having conversations on the street and sharing the love of Christ with people. And it was energizing for me just to be in the midst of our Jerusalem, to be in the midst of Toledo. Although I have to admit, a lot of the people we talked to weren't from Toledo because they were from out of town with their really cool Jeeps. How many of you were at the Jeep Fest or have been at the Jeep Fest, the parades? Have any of you heard of the Jeep Fest? Do you know about this car factory down the street? Okay, I'm just checking, make sure you're awake, making sure that coffee back there did its thing. And I think the Jeep Fest continues today. But our Jerusalem, it's so important to who we are as a church. And we've said, God, what are you doing in our city? What are you up to? And how can we join you? How can we participate? But this idea of family, we are a mosaic of people loving God and doing life together. One definition of family calls it a group of one or more parents and their children living together as a unit. If you look at the end of our statement, it says doing life together, that we do life together, families do life together. I know often these days, families are scattered all over the country or all over the world, and maybe once a year or every few years, they'll come together for a family reunion, right? But the most vibrant families, I think, are engaged in life on a day-to-day basis, on a continual basis. They do life together. If we're truly living out this value, last year's lockdown wouldn't be a big deal. See, a family is more than an hour a week in one particular room. A family does life together. They do meals together. They hang out. They do vacations together. They encourage one another, help each other out. And I have to say, it was very encouraging for me during lockdown that the family continued. I mean, yes, I know some of you lamented the fact that we couldn't all gather together in one room. I missed that as well, and I'm so thrilled to be here this morning in this room with, with most of you. Some of you are online. And yet, family continued. I heard so many stories about people, sure, we had lockdowns, we had masks, and we were, trying to be careful and whatnot, but people were serving one another and bringing meals together and hanging out and doing stuff outside, and the church continued even when the building was closed, because the church is not a building. The church is a family. And when I hear people say, I'm going to church, it's the weirdest thing to me. Like, I'm going to family. You're going to... No, family is something you are. It's not something you go to. It's about being. And as I look around this room and I think about those online, we are a family. God's doing a beautiful, beautiful thing. We not only do things together, we love one another. And that is so essential. The early church, really, it got started largely because the first followers of Jesus took Jesus' words seriously when he said, love your neighbor, and in some cases, even love your enemy. And they were a community, they were a family of love, and they loved everyone. They loved their enemies. They loved the widow, the stranger, the orphan. They loved the outcast, the poor, the sick. In fact, they were willing to accept and embrace people that no one else would accept or embrace. You know, this is how gangs get started, right? Gangs look around for that kid that's just kind of drifting, kind of lost. It's like easy prey. Hey, come join us. We'll give you a family. We'll give you an identity. You can do all sorts of destructive things with us. But imagine if we were that positive gang, that life-giving gang that welcomes everybody and says, come in. Jesus loves you and died for you, and you're really messed up, and so are we. But God is doing a work, a mighty work, leading and guiding us into wholeness, into completeness, into reconciliation, into restoration. You know, I want to challenge you with three things this morning, especially if you are lonely, disconnected, feel like you're kind of out there on your own. And this is especially poignant at this season in life, a season in our lives where we've been so disconnected, we've been so isolated. You know, Zoom calls are, I think, a lot better than a telephone, but it's nothing like a hug. I got one amen on that. Amen. Some of you just, you're not huggers. Okay, fine, that's fine. You're not huggers. I'm going to go back to Zoom. If I have to hug people, I'm just going to stay on. No, but we've all feel kind of lost and disconnected. And so I'm going to give you just three simple things, three challenges to help you, no matter if you've been a part of First Alliance for decades or if this is your first Sunday here. See, I think we're all looking for family. We're looking for connection. I'm looking for connection. 5.5 years ago, I knew one person in the city of Toledo, except my wife. We're looking for connection. So here's the three things. Number one, join a life group. We've talked about it. It is, I believe, the life groups are the core of First Alliance Church. They're where we do life together, not just an hour on Thursday night or Tuesday morning or whatever, but actually doing life together. I wanted to call them life together groups because that's really the gist of it. It's not just a Bible study. Praying together, serving meals, visiting one another in the hospital. First Alliance is too large for myself or our staff to be able to do life and be involved in everyone's needs. And so people feel like, I'm lonely, I'm all by myself. Get in a life group. We've got a number of them that are going to be starting this fall. You're all welcome to find one. My dream is that 100% of First Alliance Church would be involved in a life group. Every single one. Actually, my goal is that 120% of First Alliance Church. You're like, how does that work? I'd love to see people that don't worship with us on Sunday join. Maybe friends, neighbors, people work third shift. They can't be a part of this family, but they can be a part of a life group in a neighborhood, in a home, maybe on this campus. And if you're like, how do I get involved? Well, that connection card that Sue talked about. We've got, again, a number of different groups. And the goal, the mission is for them to live out life together. Second thing is join a serving team. And we've got all sorts of serving teams. Some of you are on a bunch of serving teams. If everyone would just picked one, everything would be met. All of our needs would be met. You're like, well, what serving team? Play on the music team. We desperately need some more musicians and singers. Serve on our hospitality team. We're looking for, you know, greeters and people to help with coffee ministry and welcoming people. Sue and Mike would love help volunteers serving in the next generation. We've got a number of different things going on, different ministries. If you just look at the calendar of events on the flyer there, you see all sorts of events and activities. So if you're not already connected, join a serving team. You're like, is that a recruiting pitch, Pastor? No, actually, that's a way for you to get connected. That's a way for you to meet new friends, to do life together. It's another way to participate because we believe nobody serves alone. Some of the best stories I've ever heard about people feeling apart, feeling community, having friends and relationships. Say, you know, I was working in the nursery and this other nursery worker, like, we really bonded. All right, I did sports and arts camp and I was working with this other person. We developed this friendship. Get involved, join a serving team, and then attend FAC 101 on October 3rd. This is it's like our membership class. We're going to go through our history. We're going to go through our who we are as a church and where we're going. I feel like actually these 6 weeks are sort of a sneak preview of this FAC 101 gathering. But some of you, you know, you're just like, well, I want to know about First Alliance. We're going to feed you free lunch, hang out with us for a couple hours. It's a great way to get connected. All right, so we are a mosaic of people loving God and doing life together. To really be a part of a family, you have to get involved. You know, if you came to me and said, hey, I need a place to stay. Can I sleep on your couch for a night? I'd say, sure. You would be my guest. By about the 35th night of sleeping on my couch, at some point it might occur to me that you've become more than a guest. And with privilege and opportunities comes responsibility. Yeah, I might ask you to take out the trash. I'd say, look, you've become part of the family. And with family, we get the benefits and the privileges of family, but also some of the responsibilities. So would you make your couch and take out the trash and maybe mow the lawn? See, family, they participate, they engage. You can't be passive in a family. Actually, you can, but you'll feel disconnected from the family. I've heard so for decades. I mean, people say, well, nobody cares about me. No one's. You're going to get out of life what you put into it. It's just that simple. You stay on the sidelines, you're never going to win the game. But you get on the field and play and participate, you're going to experience the joy of winning, or in this case, the joy of family. All right, so we're doing life together, but also, as a family, we love God, and that's what brings us together. We're united at the foot of the cross. We are brothers and sisters related by blood, the blood of Christ. Together. And that's the primary reason we gather on Sundays on this campus. We like to say that our focus, our strategy, if you will, is, well, it's three things. It's up, in, and out. Up is our relationship with God. And we really care about our relationship with God. Again, that's the thing that brings us together. I'm guessing most of you are here because you want to connect with God. We worship, we pray, we study the Bible to connect with God. Our relationship with God up. Also, in our relationship with one another. Again, as I've been saying, a family does life together. And we really care about doing life together, about loving one another. And our life groups are the primary vehicle. So up is pretty simple. Sunday morning is our primary way that we worship God. There are other expressions, of course. And in, as life groups, getting connected. If every single person was in a life group, doing the one another's of Scripture, loving one another, praying for one another, serving one another, encouraging one another, taking care of one another, all these one another's, wow, it'd be fantastic. By the way, if I had my choice, if you came to me and said, Pastor, should I go to my life group this week or Sunday morning this week? Of course, I would say both. But if I had to choose, I would say go to your life group. See, I believe life transformation happens best in small groups, in smaller communities, circles instead of rows. Right now, there's not a lot you can do to engage and participate. You can take some notes, you can nod your head, you can say an amen. But in a small group, in a life group, you're able to engage, participate, ask questions, share. Again, it's about doing life together. The final piece of our strategy is out. We serve. We get on serving teams and we serve. It might be serving with one of our home missions partners like Water for Ishmael or the Pregnancy Center or Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Toledo Christian Schools. It might be serving on a ministry team here. But it's this idea of serving, getting beyond ourselves and serving together with one another. Ideally, everyone in our family is engaged up, in, and out. They're engaged in a relationship with God, relationship with one another, and they're making some connections in our world, serving together. I love this word mosaic, because a mosaic describes diversity. If you look around the room, we don't all look the same. We don't all act the same. We don't even all believe exactly the same. And that's a beautiful thing, because we can learn from one another, we can sharpen one another, we can listen to one another. If everybody on the whole planet, if 7.5 billion people were just like me, I'll let you fill in what catastrophe that would be. A mosaic is a piece of art that's formed by a collection of broken pieces that are assembled so that light can shine through it. I want to tell you, I don't think there's a better picture of what the church is called to be. We are all broken, all different, and yet when we come together and the light of Jesus Christ shines through us, it's the most beautiful thing. Amen? Now, let me just add to that. If you've ever seen a mosaic, all these pieces that come together, I mean, this is an example of one. They're all different shapes, sizes, colors. If you've ever seen a mosaic and it shatters and the pieces go all over, we usually aren't too happy about that. We usually call that a problem. See, the church is a family, and families are supposed to be united together. They're supposed to come together. And what we've seen in the past year, and quite honestly, we've seen for the past 2,000 years, is we've seen division in the church. We've seen separation from the church. We've seen criticism, and I can't pray with you because you're from that church, or you believe a little differently than I do, so you're a heretic, and so I'm just going to go on Facebook and tell everyone how you're a horrible person. Like, Jesus prayed for unity. It's his only prayer that I'm aware of in Scripture. He prayed for us, for those who will believe in John 17. He said, I pray that they would be one, Jesus. Or Jesus prayed to the Father, I pray that they would be one, you and I would be one. Because when these broken pieces come together, it's a beautiful thing. But separated, not so much. Now, obviously, diversity is not without its challenges. Anyone that's married knows that there can be challenges when you are different. And yet, when those differences complement one another, beautiful things happen. Iron sharpens iron. We begin to grow. We begin to be challenged. We become more and more like Christ. We're a Jesus-centered family, restoring God's masterpieces in Toledo and beyond for his glory. And what brings us together is Jesus and his mission. Now, I want to go through rather quickly a passage that I know many of you are familiar with. If you turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to look at this. I think it's a magnificent picture of mosaic. It's a beautiful picture of what the body of Christ is all about. It's a portrait, if you will, of when different pieces come together and form a beautiful masterpiece on its own. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 4, it says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, just get ready. I'm going to blast through this. Take a deep breath. It's going to be like drinking water from a fire hydrant. Are you ready? See, God has created each of us different, but he's also given us different gifts, different abilities, different skills. And the skills are not for my use or your use, they're for our use and his use. Now, that each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given, it says, for the common good. And I'm having technical problems. Maybe can you advance that for me, please? Or I love technology when it works. All right, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is for the common good. So Paul's going to talk to the church in Corinth about spiritual gifts here. And he's saying it's about the common good. This is about, as a family, the gifts that we're given are to bless one another, to serve one another. Going on. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking different kinds of tongues, and to still others the interpretation of tongues. It continues on. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Some of you, you don't like your gifts. Some of you, you don't like your abilities. I've heard people say, I wish I could sing like that. I wish I could lead like that. I wish I had those gifts, those abilities. Family, if you don't like your gifts, take it up with God. God has given you gifts, each of you. He's given you gifts, and he's given you gifts to use, to grow, to develop. This past week, several of us were a part of an event called the Global Leadership Summit. People that are leaders, people that have influence. It's not about title so much as influence. And by the way, you all have influence and you're all leaders in one sector or another. But we got together, Romans 8 actually talks about, mentions the gift of leadership. And so we got together and spent 2 days just soaking in some of the best leadership materials to sharpen, to grow, to make our gifts, our leadership gifts, better. If you don't like your gift, blame God. But these gifts, we're supposed to discover them, develop them, and deploy our gifts for God's glory. I'll say that again. We are to discover, develop, and deploy our gifts for God's glory. You're like, how do I discover my gifts? I'm going to get to that. I have a little tool for you, a homework assignment. But I want you to think about discovering what gifts God has given you, and develop them, sharpen them, and then use them, deploy them for God's glory. Verse 12 says, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we're all baptized by one Spirit as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body, now get this, the body's not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. I think this is just a brilliant metaphor, a brilliant analogy that Paul uses to describe what the church is supposed to be, what a family is. Different parts, different pieces, but all connected. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the hand cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. You get the picture? He says, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lack it. So, this is the key, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. I love this, family. I know many of you are familiar with this passage, but this is so beautiful. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. I'll prove this to you. Have you ever stubbed your toe? Have you ever even stubbed like your baby toe? Like this little small insignificant part. You drop something on it, you stub it somehow, your whole body's like, ah! You're going to put that in a video someday, aren't you? If one part suffers, every part suffers. This past week, I had several conversations with people in our family that are going through some really, really difficult times. I mean, just gut-wrenching, heartbreak. Some of you are in this room, some of you are online. Just horrific things. And my heart just broke. First thing I want to do is fix it, make it all better. These were way beyond my ability to fix. Some I was able to help with, resource a little bit, and all of them I was able to pray. Because when you suffer, I suffer. And if one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. By the way, it seems like my assessment, we're pretty good at suffering with those who suffer. We're pretty good with mourning with those who mourn. We're pretty good with praying for people that are really going through difficult times and struggles. Sometimes when it comes to celebrating and rejoicing others' envy creeps in a little bit. Oh, so that's your new car, huh? Wow, that's a little nicer than my car. I think maybe I deserve a nicer car. Oh, you got a promotion? I want a promotion. Oh yeah, I'm happy. This is when one part is honored, every part rejoices. We should celebrate, family, when good things happen. We should celebrate and rejoice. Hey, that's fantastic. Wow. It's a nice car. Why don't you take me for a ride? All right, moving on. Now you are the body of Christ. And every one of you, if you're a follower of Jesus, you are part of the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, different kinds of tongues. Again, some of you have these different gifts. Some of you want these different gifts. But Paul says, are all of you apostles? Are all of you prophets? Are all of you teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gift of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And then he goes on and says, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. And if you know anything about 1 Corinthians 12, what follows is 1 Corinthians 13, which many of you know is the love chapter of the Bible. Paul says in Romans, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. See, we're all different parts of the body. We're a mosaic, and there's no one piece that's more important than the other. Different gifts, different shapes, sizes, education, background, economic. You know, some of you are homeless. Some of you have beautiful homes. Some of you ride a bike. Some of you walk. Some of you have nice cars. We're all different. We need to celebrate those differences because what we have in common, what brings us together, is Jesus, our big brother, Jesus. And if you want a picture of what all this is going to look like, Revelation says it so beautifully. Every nation, tribe, people, language, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. We're going to spend eternity with one another. We might as well enjoy our diversity now, celebrate our differences now, Because what we have in common as brothers and sisters in Christ is far more important than any differences that we may have. As Kara comes up to sing a song for us, I just want to say, you're invited this morning. You're invited to join the family. I don't mean the First Alliance family, although if you're not a member around here or if you're new around here, again, I just want to say, get connected. We'd love to have you. We're opening up. Things are opening up. I know masks are coming back maybe, and there's all this stuff with Delta and whatnot. No one really knows the future, but get connected. But some of you, maybe you've never even been part of the capital F family, the global family, the family of God. And I want to just invite you to listen to this song as Kara sings as we wind up, as we wind down our time together. The family of God. I want to invite you to join the family of God. The table is a beautiful symbol of family. The kitchen table is that place where families gather, where they share stories. What was your high and your low today? Where do you need prayer? How can we encourage one another? Let's have a food fight. I mean, all sorts of things happen at the family table. And this song simply says, you're invited. Come to the table. If you are not part of the family, again, the invitation is there. Some churches, some people have this attitude that you have to behave a certain way and believe a certain way, and then you can belong. Jesus' approach was completely opposite. He said, come follow me, you belong with me. And as a result of belonging, as a result of joining the family, all of a sudden, beliefs start to be transferred and behavior starts to change. Restoration of the masterpiece starts to take place. See, I'm so glad that God didn't say, clean up your act and then come to me. And yet, for whatever reason, and some legit, some maybe not so legit, many people have this impression that in order to join the family, they have to be cleaned up and perfect and tidy. Well, guess what? That excludes all of us. We are all broken masterpieces in the process of being restored by the movement and the work of God, but it only comes through being with God and with God's people. And so as the sign says on Monroe Street, you belong here. And we trust and pray that as you belong and as you become part of family, that you will believe and behave not so much to be like us, but to be like Jesus. That's our goal, is to be like Jesus. And that can only come through being transformed by the Holy Spirit. All right, one more thing. One of our core values of the Christian Missionary Alliance, it says this. Completing the Great Commission will require the mobilization of every fully devoted follower of Jesus. This is what I'm saying to you this morning, that we're family and we need to work together. We need to come together, do life together, serve together. We need all of you. This isn't, well, this is a job for the professional. No, every single one of you are invited to get in the game, invited to participate, invited to be part of the family and serve. We need all of you. You all have gifts I don't have, and I have some gifts you don't have, and together we form that beautiful mosaic. So get connected. I can't stress this enough. I'm just going to tell you one more time, three things. One, join a life group. Two, get in a serving team. And three, FAC 101 is coming up on October 3rd. It's a great way for you to get connected. All right, I mentioned a way for you to discover your gifts. Maybe some of you are like, I have gifts. I didn't know I had gifts. How do I find my gift? So here's your assignment, freeshapetest.com. Can't be any simpler than that, freeshapetest.com. Don't worry, this is one test you can't fail. Some of you are like, I hate tests. No, you can't fail this test. There are no right or wrong answers. This is just a series of questions designed to help you understand how God has uniquely wired you up. We're going to talk about this in September. So this is for you overachievers. If you like to overachieve, go to freeshapetest.com, and it won't take you more than, I don't know, 9 or 10 hours. But no, it won't take you that long, I promise. Freeshapetest.com. Just answer the questions as simple, honest as you possibly can. And what that will help you do is it'll give you a readout, an assessment of how God has wired you up, your spiritual gifts and personalities and whatever. It's a tool. It's not perfect. It's not the Bible. But if you take some time with this, I think it'll help you get a better understanding of maybe the piece of the mosaic that God has uniquely designed you to be. And then there's a section at the very bottom where you can send your results to our office, office@factoledo.org, just so that we can get a better picture of the picture that God is creating here at First Alliance Church. You're all welcome to come to the table. You're all welcome to discover, develop, and deploy the gifts that God has given you. And each of you have been given some beautiful gifts. If we come together, it will be a magnificent masterpiece, not only for the world, but for Jesus. Would you please stand as we close? Lord God, once again, I thank you that you've invited each of us into your family. And we're all different. And yet, all different, all parts of the body are needed and necessary. I pray that we would rejoice when one rejoices, and we would mourn when one mourns. That we would love one another, help one another, encourage one another. We would do what family does when family functions well, when it's healthy, when it's functional. And that we would bring you glory and honor in all we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Family, I love you. I deeply love you. I'm here to serve you. Our church staff is here to serve you. But we are not the paid professionals to do ministry. We are here to equip you to be the body, to do life together, to make disciples. Just a reminder, 5 o'clock tonight, dinner church, right behind me in the fellowship hall. You're all welcome. We create this. It's not really for you. It's really created for unchurched friends. And so if you can bring friends, if you want to, you know, participate, it's for the people that aren't here. Dinner church is for all the empty seats in the room this morning. And lastly, one thing that we like to offer all of you each week is an opportunity to pray for you. Our elders are available each Sunday in the front row here. If you have some needs, if there's some things that you want us to rejoice and celebrate with you, or some things that you want to just kind of talk through, we'd love to pray for you and serve you in that way. And so we want to make that available each Sunday as we gather. Family, have a great day. There's one last thing. There's sign-ups. This is the last week to sign up for the Mud Hens game on the 29th. A family outing, if you will, as a church family. It's going to have a little fun as long as they win and the weather's good. The weather is going to be good next week. It looks magnificent for big tent worship. So we'll see you outside at the big tent, 10:30 next Sunday. God bless. Shalom. Darkness, you shine. Out of the ashes, we rise.